All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Doug Thornton. I'm your host of American Vindicta. I want to go ahead and just break the news here. There's been another active shooter. This was at a school in Uvalde, Texas. This is from breaking911.com. Two kids dead after active shooter incident at Texas Elementary School. Suspect is in custody. This article is from Grant Benson. Uvalde, Texas. At least two students were killed and several more were injured during an active shooter incident Tuesday at a Texas elementary school, officials said. The Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District said on its social media, there was an active shooter at Robb Elementary, saying that law enforcement is on site. Your cooperation is needed at this time by not visiting the campus. As soon as more information is gathered, it will be shared. There is a lady named Leah Waldman who commented on this. I guess she's a reporter. She said, we know at this point two people were taken to University Hospital in San Antonio, one child and one adult. Their condition isn't known at this time. Uvalde Memorial Hospital is caring for several students. Confirmed from Uvalde Memorial Hospital, 13 arrived at the emergency room being treated. Two of those were transferred to San Antonio. One of them is pending a transfer. Two children are deceased and cannot confirm if gunshot injuries, but presume so. And a 45-year-old at hospital grazed by a bullet. The Uvalde Memorial Hospital said several students were transported to its emergency room. CBS News reported that at least one teacher was also shot. And this is informational from the Uvalde Memorial Hospital. Information at this time is that the active shooter at Robb Elementary is in custody. Uvalde Memorial Hospital is currently caring for several students in the emergency room. Immediate family of those students are to report to the cafeteria on the second floor. The staff will be in constant communication with the family members. If you are not an immediate family member, we are asking you to refrain from coming to the hospital at this time. Here's another update. This was about 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Update on the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, a university hospital. One patient is a 66-year-old woman who is in critical condition. We do not have any condition to report on the child. So this is hard to sit here and have to read. You know, Chief Bill McManus of the San Antonio Police Department has sent resources to an active shooter at Robb Elementary in Uvalde and is standing by to assist as further needed. Police later confirmed that the suspect was in custody. The conditions or exact number of those wounded was not immediately known. We're awaiting a press conference. So, Uvalde, Texas is not far from where I used to live at. I used to live in Bandera, in Texas, in Bandera County. And Uvalde was just south of us. It's a beautiful little place. A little Texas town. Not many people even live there. I mean, you would, you know, you'd pass it up on the map. What's hard about this is the children aspect. I've warned for a long time that people will choose soft targets and they will choose schools. I've said for some time that we should be looking for a elementary style school where there are children at that will be targeted for an active shooter, and it's happened. I don't want any comment about that at all, to be honest with you. This is not a pat on my back. I'm just telling you that in my profession, you can see it coming a mile away. The hard part of this is, as a parent, what do you do? How do you react to this type of information that your child is at a shooting at the school that they attend? Not many parents have to face this fear until it happens to them. And then their entire prerogative of life is now changed, especially if they lost that child. And I have reviewed many testimonies from parents who have lost their child from an active shooter at a school. I don't really have any good answers for you. This is one of the reasons why I homeschool. It's a very solemn. My heart has dropped today reading this. I was going to come on and talk about some uplifting stuff, but every 12 hours, it seems, there's something new in the news. Me and Dave Hodges have said this for a while now. And of course, the Democrats will use the innocent blood that's shed to come after the Second Amendment rights at the grandstand. We don't even know who the suspect is. I'm hoping that before the end of the day, we will know. But as a parent, having young children, we have to understand that when our children are no longer within the care of our hands, we place them in somebody else's care. And I want to say most small town schools in Texas are pretty safe. Now, even if there's a school resource officer from the sheriff's department that's working there. However, we have these horrific cases. You know, sorry if this isn't what you want to hear right now. If it's dampening the mood, turn it off. Just turn me off. I get it. This is the grim reality of the constant state of war that America is in. You know, people can scoff at that all they want, but there is a war zone outside of your house. Every time you walk outside the door, you step into that war zone. You just haven't been shot at yet. How do you change this from happening again? Do you beef up the security of schools? I think we should. I think we must. There's a period of time, and I was a part of this group, whenever we were coming out of the military and we couldn't find jobs back in like 2010. And many of us, you know, were seeing all the school shootings that were happening. And many of us said, just hire a bunch of us veterans returning from the wars. We'll protect these schools. But you see, they won't do that. And instead, you know, the typical officer who gets put as a school resource officer, and sometimes it's only one, is not going to be the young gun. Typically, it's going to be the older, more seasoned officer who can respond with children more gracefully, have more patience, be a mentor. And I understand the need for that. But I think there is a need right now in this country to be employing veterans at schools You know, make them go through a security guard course. Make it be a state thing, Governor Abbott. But if we don't start putting guns in our schools in the faithful hands of men and women who know how to use these weapons to protect our children, more of these atrocities are going to happen. You can disagree with that or not. And most people who disagree with me on that, I would tend to guess, are the people who've never been shot at before. I would feel much safer knowing that I had some seasoned war veterans standing guard at a school than just to roll up on a school and have nothing there. That's just my opinion. Thoughts and prayers go out to the family, the families, the 13 families that have been affected by this shooting. I get extremely frustrated, and I tend to lose my temper when I see these type of shootings, because they're not all preventable, but we have options in this country, and we choose not to use them. You ever seen how many school shootings there aren't in Israel? There's a reason why. You know, I'm not saying that we have to look like a complete police state, but come on, guys. You know, there's already enough bad stuff happening in the schools as it is with indoctrination into radical beliefs. Why can't we just throw a few guys, good guys with guns, as they would say, in the school? You know, I mean for men and women that would be trained heavily, vetted heavily, have a continuous background check happening on them. A background check that would check into every facet of their life, because you don't want, you know, just your average drunk or crazy person or a potentially a child molester with a gun acting as the security. And there are plenty of people out there that are. So I would call for a very stringent security. You know, I would be all about starting that myself. However, I already know that on its face, I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my energy talking about this because it's not going to happen. It's just a sad day, man. It's a really sad day. This is the reason why I'm going to start doing these little miniature, I guess you could say, training videos and scenarios. You know, I'm going to try my best to show people how to properly use life-saving devices that you can order, that you can get from a lot of stores, pressure bandages, tourniquets, splints. And I already was reading the comments from the last video that was published on YouTube, but you know, people may not like the fact that, you know, you have to pay $3 a month to see stuff that we learned in the military and law enforcement. But right now, that's one of the only ways that we're helping to really get this show continuously going, since we lost a major supporter within our funding. So, you know, just please understand that with the training that we're going to be giving you, it can't be on YouTube, it can't be on Rumble, because the stuff we're going to talk about could be flagged, could be taken down, because we're going to be talking about just regular good old training. You know, and in this training, we may hurt some people's feelings with facts, but the algorithms within YouTube are weird. You know, there's some things that you can put up and the algorithm will immediately strike it. That's happened to me. And then you can or you can be like one of these weird people and you can put up, I just heard about this recently, naked yoga, where you can literally film yourself being naked and doing yoga. Put that on YouTube. But if I were to show you how to put on a tourniquet, if I were to show you how to put on a pressure bandage, or if I had one of my buddies come on and give us a little bit more in-depth training onto that, or speak about these school shootings, how to train your kids to think a certain way for these school shootings, that content could be taken down. Half the time I get on the radio, I just want to pull out the Bible and I just want to read from it, but I can't make an entire show out of that. And also, on top of that, YouTube would take it down. Most likely, YouTube would take it down because of the algorithm. Because, you know, it's the New World Order, man. I don't know what to tell you. Everything lies with the evil one. When you try to get some information or truth out there, there are processes and systems and hurdles that you have to jump just to get information out there to the average person to wake them up. And I can't put out every bit of information. That's why a lot of the stuff goes to Rumble. If you don't follow me on Rumble, I suggest you do, because some of the interviews that I do with some of the people cannot be put on YouTube, because we go into subjects that are strictly for Rumble. We'll say it like that. Some very good interviews. So, you know, that's the whole reason why we're going to have this Patreon thing. That, and there's going to be a lot of stuff that's coming up with the expedition that me and my good friend are about to go on. And there's going to be a lot of B-roll from that, a lot of stuff that we're going to be filming, you know, 5-10 minute long videos that won't make it to a lot of the YouTube stuff. So the Patreon will be able to see some very exclusive videos, the stuff that we'll be doing in caves. I'm hoping we'll be able to get the giant waterfall we're going to be near. But there's a lot of really cool stuff that we're going to be around, and a lot of that's going to go to the Patreon, because, you know, if you're helping to support this channel, I got to show you stuff that's really cool, and sorry, but it's going to them, you know. So I don't mean to offend anybody, because it's already happening. But, you know, that's the reason why we do these Patreon things. And for the longest time, I never thought I would do a Patreon. I thought that the sponsors would come in a little bit sooner, but it hasn't. So we started the Patreon account after much thought and prayer on it. If you'd like to support me, American Vindictus Show at Patreon. We also have a donations tab that's on the website. You can also find the P.O. box there. My goal here is to try and put out good information, good training, and to try and educate the public. You know, I sit here and I play with this tourniquet that I have, I'm constantly playing with, testing myself how fast I can put it on still. When we were in training, when I was with DHS, we were at our special response team training facility that's up in the East Coast. It's up in the mountains of the East Coast. I remember we were watching a video from one of the guys that was with us, who was a Special Forces 18 Delta, and he did a lot of our medical training for us. And we were watching videos of how fast, you know, you can bleed out from getting a femoral artery shot in the leg. More or less what it was a video where a guy got shot in the leg somewhere in the Middle East with an AK, and it was a warning shot. That's why you don't do warning shots in people's legs, Biden. So he got the warning shot by the AK, by the 7.62 by 39 or 59, I don't know what it was. Blew half of his leg off. Well, it happened to also separate the femoral artery, and he bled out in 17 seconds. So we had a little bit of a competition whenever we were around each other, and the instructors would try to see who could put on their tourniquets in 17 seconds, just to keep that in the back of your mind. 17 seconds. when I was in the military, it was, what, a minute? You know? So, just have good gear and be training. Always training. Never stop training. I just recently got in some training pistols, little rubber pistols. They're only like $10. Just so that I can keep up training. I ain't got to carry my pistol everywhere with me. Around the house for the training. You know, if you don't keep yourself in this consistent mindset, a constant mindset of training, you just never know, man. You never know when your brain may slip and you forget something so simple and stupid, and it may cost you your life. You know, I don't know what I would do if I was a parent and I had got this text message or phone call, or God forbid, I saw it on Twitter that this had happened. And now, obviously, I would be driving 1,000 miles an hour to get to the school, even though the local law enforcement's telling me not to come. You can't tell a parent not to come. The reason why would be because we don't want everyone with their gun coming to the school either, if law enforcement is already there clearing the school out. Because law enforcement doesn't know everyone that's inside the school unless the active shooter was immediately placed into custody. Law enforcement still has to sweep the entire school, every single square inch of that school, for anyone who also may be injured or who may have deceased, who may be deceased. And there also may be, you know, explosive devices. That's not a common thing, but you know, if you look into Columbine and a few other school shootings, improvised explosive devices were used. So you have to look out for that. So you quickly take your time clearing out a school, and by that I mean you are running from room to room. You're negating a little bit of good tactics to apply the gas pedal for the emergency of getting to the shooter. That means you're going to miss stuff. So if you miss stuff, you hit a trip wire and an explosion goes off, well, now we got more problems, more victims. So the last thing we need is for parents to stumble into an active crime scene or to a potential active shooting and get caught up, or even worse, also be shot in the process by law enforcement because you didn't identify yourself. We don't know if there's a secondary or a third shooter. So the best thing to do is just to sit helplessly outside and wait. Who would do that? Who would sit helplessly outside? I mean, I can say all this coming as, you know, 10 years of law enforcement, being a veteran officer. But I would still probably be fighting to get into that school. They'd probably have to detain me because I would probably be manic. And I would expect most fathers and mothers to be the same way. There's no easy path here, guys. There's no easy solution. I can say put armed security in every school, but I know it won't ever pass legislation. You know, the legislation will say, no, what we need to do is disarm the public. We need to take away the, you know, 500 billion guns that we have in this country. Good luck with that. That'll never happen. You know, one of the things that you can do, they do have, and I'm not sponsored by anything to say this, but they do have bullet-resistant panels that you can put in a child's backpack. You can give a child a tourniquet and teach them how to use it. You can give a child a pressure bandage, a hemostatic bandage, teach them how to use it. But the reality of the child using it in a time of a heightened stress and being scared and the adrenaline pump, you know, it's probably not going to be used. Not every child would be that way, of course. You know, But this is one reason why the staff members of that school, of every school in America, if legally able to, if not a felon, if not a child molester, if you don't have any other type of pending felonies, you should be carrying a gun in that school as a teacher. Now, take what I just said and apply it to a lot of those crazy leftist teachers that are out there. I mean, just look at how many teachers recently, and the majority of them are female, that have gone completely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And not to mention, the majority female are getting in trouble more and more for pedophilia, for having sexual relations with their students. You know, I'm not going to sit here Monday morning quarterback anybody, guys. That's not right to do. This event's still live. You know, we're still just sitting here waiting for a response. But were there preventative measures that could have been in place? Yes. Yes, there was. And that's not the fault of the parents. You know, it's the, I would blame it on the state, I'd blame it on the county, blame it on the school board. You know, it would take just that one shop teacher who carries his gun in his car to have to run out to the parking lot to get it to stop a shooter. And then what? That guy gets in trouble because he had his gun on the school property, even though he was a hero and stopped the shooting. We don't hear about stories like that. But you'll hear stories like this. Innocent blood being shed. We have the means and ability to protect children, and we refuse to do it. I don't even know if I should be covering this, to be honest with you. This may just be too fresh happening right now. I strongly implore you to consider putting your children in homeschool. Not private, not charter, homeschool. Safest place for your child should be the home that they dwell in. We don't have control of what happens at schools. And that aspect terrifies me as a parent. That's why my children have never been in a school. They've always been homeschooled. Of course, with the government, I also move quite frequently. Or I did, excuse me. So just, you know, food for thought, guys. Make sure that you're praying for these people in Uvalde. So, we're going to go to break. I'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. At first initial 30 minutes, I kind of got a little emotional reading the stuff happening in Uvalde, Texas at the elementary school with the shooting. And just to be clear, because I know there's always that one idiot who will say something. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to use the shooting at this school for you to donate to me or sign up to the Patreon. I'm not. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you can't do it because you need to save money, don't send me anything. Spend the money on food or protection for yourself and your family. I have to say that because occasionally I'll get an email from the one idiot who'll say, oh, look at you, you're trying to sell, whatever because of this circumstance. I'm just clearing the air, it's not. So, getting on to something else, a little bit of a conspiracy theory here. Let's rewind the clock back to the Buffalo, New York active shooter. The security guard that was there, Mr. Salter, he was developing something. I'm not sure how many of you know this or not, but he was developing something that could have changed, revolutionized the automobile industry in America, while also working at the Tops Friendly Market. I believe that's the place it was. The security guard that died there, all right, same guy, Mr. Salter, he created a system through hydrologic electrolysis that would allow an automobile engine to run on water, and was about to take his invention to the market before the shooting took place. Now, more or less how this would work is you would use gasoline to spark the engine to get the initial startup of the engine, and then a conversion would happen with water. And I don't know the entire process, but you can look this up. AWS Hydrogen Technologies LLC and find this information. This guy was a certified genius. What a horrific tragedy to lose a man like this. Not just that he was serving his community, but he was also trying to serve his people by providing free energy. Very much like a Nikola Tesla, right? Trying to give free energy. So let's go down the conspiratorial path. This gentleman creates a hydrologic electrolysis device that would replace fuel with water through whatever science happens there. And now the one-armed bandit at the pump can't get you anymore. You can fill up your tank with water from your house. It's a miracle. In our modern day, that'd be a miracle, right? But are there other forces at play here? Could something insidious have happened? Could somebody have conspired to have this man sought out and murdered and stage it all as a white supremacist active shooter? Does it make sense still that the active shooter traveled almost 300 miles away to try and, not try, but to attack this one market? It still doesn't make sense to me. It still doesn't add up. And then you interject this new data that Mr. Salter was creating a free energy engine that the military hadn't been able to create. The automobile industry hasn't been able to create. There's not one person thinking about how to do this, or are we stuck on fossil fuels because then we're relying on fossil fuels? And if we're reliant on fossil fuels to then travel or to use for our energy means and consumption for generators, then you just took out a multi-billion, close to trillion-dollar industry and replaced it with water from the tap. Stick with me, all right? Watch the 11-minute video of Mr. Salter running his experiments. He was getting close to having this completely up and working. He had already had it installed in his Ford F-150 and working. I watched the video of it. I was amazed. I called Dave Hodges, and me and him sat there and were reading over this. And that's when we both thought, oh, shit. Could this man have been murdered? Could someone have actually conspired to murder this man? Because he was about to interrupt a billion, multi-billion dollar industry in a time when gasoline is spiking through the roof to include diesel. We may not have truckers on the road delivering goods for the American people because of the price and cost at the pump. Families may have to choose with food or filling up the gas tank. If you don't fill up the gas tank, you can't go to work every day, not until the gas runs low. This man could have solved that problem. He found an answer to an age-old riddle. How do you get rid of fossil fuels? And then out of nowhere, before this man is about to patent this device, he's murdered. If you review what this active shooter says, he talks about how he has to kill the security guard. Out of anyone else that's there, he mentions the security guard, not the manager, you know, not the person who's sacking the groceries, not the greeter. The shooter identifies Mr. Salter. I find that to be very interesting at this point, now with this new revelation. So why am I bringing this up to you? There was another guy decades ago who tried the same thing once. His name was Stan Meyer. Now, since the advent of the automobile, manufacturers have designed different engines to limit the environmental impact posed by the millions of pounds of carbon emissions that the cars generate annually. And among these are ethanol and natural gas, electricity, and even propane. But perhaps the least known of these is the car that was said to run on water. And that may be because its inventor, Stanley Meyer, was murdered shortly after he patented this breakthrough device. I'm going to read you an article about this, and it's from Gaia.com, very weird name for a website. This article was wrote by Tasha Shane. Now, Meyer's invention promised a revolution in the automotive industry. It worked through an electric water fuel cell, which divided any kind of water, including salt water, into its fundamental elements of hydrogen and oxygen by utilizing a process far simpler than the electrolysis method. Despite skepticism about the legitimacy of a car that runs on water, Stanley Meyer was able to patent his invention under Section 101 of the Subject Matter Eligibility Index, meaning he proved to a patent review board that his invention would work reliably, and they approved it. Meyer's water-powered engine was the result of 20 years of research and dedication, and he claimed it was capable of converting tap water into enough hydrogen fuel to drive his car from one end of the country to the other. That just put Tesla out of business. Now, his invention was mind-boggling, and it promised a future of non-polluting vehicles that could be refueled with a garden hose. Fossil fuel politics was in the face of Stanley Meyer's patents, though. Today, the average consumer is itching for alternative fuel vehicles, if for no other reason than the tremendous environmental impact caused by a completely unsustainable energy paradigm. According to statistics, cars release approximately 333 million tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere annually, which is 20% of the world's total carbon dioxide. Of course, these condemning statistics could be eradicated if automobiles were ran on alternative fuels. Which begs the question, why aren't they? Who wouldn't love this idea? Well, for starters, it's the petroleum industry. Stanley Meyer and other alternative transportation inventors were up against copious amounts of money from big oil. Exxon, the world's largest publicly traded oil and gas company, reported earnings in 2018 of $76.61 billion. And this is but one of many oil corporations that not only wield tremendous political and economic power, but also the power to influence the public opinion. According to critics, they were willing and able to quell inventions that threatened to reduce or eliminate the use of fossil fuels. The oil industry always puts up a big fight. They not only profit tremendously by warfare, tanks and planes do not run without fuel, but they also have been instrumental in instigating wars to feed the world's most destructive addictions. Those who profit from selling oil and gas have built their fortunes upon it, and their incomes and futures would be in jeopardy should an alternative sustainable fuel be introduced to replace their deleterious products. To protect all that they have built in terms of perennial profits, international clout, and influence on major world economies, big oil continues to be the strongest political force to overturn policies in an effort to combat environmental incentives for alternative energy and transportation, and to destroy or marginalize all opposing innovation in these areas. Now, Stanley Meyer's mysterious death on March 21st, 1998. Stanley was having lunch at a Cracker Barrel with his brother and two potential Belgian investors. The four clinked their glasses to a toast and their commitment to uplifting the world. But after taking a sip of his cranberry juice, Meyer clutched his throat, sprang to his feet, and ran outside. Rushing after him, his brother Stephen found him down on his knees, vomiting violently. He quickly muttered his last words, "They poisoned me." Meyer's death was investigated for 3 months, though it was eventually written on the coroner's report that he died of a cerebral aneurysm. Stanley's brother, Stephen Meyer, insists that his brother was murdered. After all, Meyer's invention posed an incalculable threat to billions of oil industry dollars, and untold fortunes, and he'd successfully resisted succumbing to numerous buyout offers. Additionally, the inventor had warded off pressure from numerous overseas visitors and weathered persistent government spying operations. And perhaps, not so strangely, those investors who dined with the Meyer brothers on that fateful day declined to offer so much as a condolence following Meyer's demise. Stanley Meyer's legacy still lives on, though. While conspiracies shroud Meyer's invention and death, some say it is possible for his water fuel cell to do what it claimed and to be factual. One thing is clear. Without an alternative fuel source of some sort, the Earth's climate crisis will only continue to deepen. Now, I'm going to stop myself right there. I'm not a climatologist, but I do think it probably would help the world if we came out with a better way to fuel our vehicles and a cheaper way for transportation that was better for the environment. All right, I think we can all nod our heads and say, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And I come from an oil industry family. Most of the men in my family worked in the oil industry. I did. I worked in an oil plant. So I understand the need, necessity for it, but I still believe, like probably many others, probably less wars would happen and more people would live sustainably if we found another route around big oil. I pray that someone continues this work and the very unfortunate death of Mr. Salter and his invention. I pray that someone continues that. Don't let that man's dreams die in vain. I do think the big oil would kill somebody over this. I really do. And I think it's not a conspiracy theory anymore. Look at what's happening around the world, guys. We all claimed conspiracy theory for many years until 2020 happened, and then you couldn't go outside your house without a mask on. Now look at us. And that's coming back. But do you think Joe Biden, Mr. New Green Deal, Mr. Green Energy, Mr. Shut Down the Oil Industry, where is his voice and his mighty hand as the President of the United States at dealing with the late Mr. Salter and his family and trying to bring this man's invention to life? Do you think it would happen? Leave it in the comments below. I'd love to hear them. Do you think Biden would actually try to have a real green energy, or do you think it's all about shutting down everything and getting us really dependent on oil? You know, he killed the Keystone Pipeline. You destroyed hundreds of thousands of jobs and lives. But yet, how many inventors out there that just haven't been found yet that have created a sustainable green energy system for automobiles? I think if I was a person who was about to patent something like that, I would probably strongly invest in my own security, because you're going up against tyrants. You're going up against companies that are worth hundreds of billions of dollars, controlled interests from governments worldwide. They do kill people. They do silence people. They do buy people out. They do threaten and intimidate people so that they can keep their power. What a world we live in. So what do you guys think? Today was a pretty somber show. I really hope one day I can come on here and, you know, bells and whistles and rainbows and tell you about how great everything is going to be. Continue to prepare. That's all I can tell you. Continue to prepare. Prepare accordingly. We will be hosting a training event that's going to be hosted by Ready Made Resources and Bob Griswold. That will be posted on Bob Griswold's website and my website soon. And I think we're shooting for the first weekend of September, so that's around the 5th, I believe. Those dates will be hardened out and they'll be posted. We're going to go over a lot of stuff at that training event. It's 3 days long. It's going to be probably 12 hours or maybe even more a day. And you are going to be getting some serious hands-on training. The great Dave Hodges is going to be there. He's going to give us a psychological breakdown of active shooters. And I think, you know, that's just going to be awesome within itself. I'm going to be sitting back there in the crowd with you, just oohing and aahing. You know, we're going to put a lot of hard situations on you. We're going to have some airsoft guns there. You'll be doing some use of force, some force on force shooting with your fellow students. We will be testing a little bit of your tactical proficiency and shooting skills, but this isn't, you know, the Top Shot class. This isn't a class where it's, you know, the best marksman class. That's not what this class will be. This class is going to be about identifying what active shooters are, what law enforcement sees, how to respond to it as a civilian, and how to take care of yourself if you're involved in an active shooter. Not to mention, we'll also go over the legal aspect of that. It's going to be an extremely informational-based training, and it's going to be 100 miles an hour. You know, it's going to be fun, but it's going to be rough. You know, you are going to get dirty. You are going to get sweaty. You might even bleed a little bit if you're lucky. But it's better that we train now. It's better that we bleed now in training. We sweat it all out now. So that when it happens in real life, at least we've got the reps in. At least we've got a little bit of the conditioning in, a little bit of the training in. You know, that's the whole point behind this. Now then, real quick, before I let you go. If you want to do this, if you ain't got this type of stuff on you, I suggest copy down what I'm about to tell you. You can go to Amazon, you can buy it. Have an active shooter kit on your person. If you're a lady, you carry around a purse or a diaper bag, you got it made. Men, you can either carry around a tourniquet in your pocket or you can keep the stuff in your truck. But I suggest you get a CAT tourniquet, C-A-T, CAT tourniquet. North American Rescue is the brand that I use. For a while, I remember that the government, we had bought a tremendous amount of tourniquets, and they ended up being fake tourniquets from China. And the problem with that is that the windlass rod, which is what you use to tighten the tourniquet down, was snapping. And the components of the tourniquet were just falling apart, so it's faulty, and that's how people die. So if you're going to buy something, make sure you buy from a reputable website. North American Rescue, I don't get paid to say that. That's just where I get my stuff from. There's another one called H&H. You can get hemostatic bandages from them. I strongly recommend hemostatic bandages, something that will help with clotting of the blood. Israeli bandages are always great. You know, any type of combat gauze that has hemostatic agents in it. We want a pressure bandage for something that we can wrap around a wound, because the wound may not always just be a gunshot. Could also be a break in the skin from a bone, from a fracture. I've seen that. I've actually had to treat that before. That's interesting. You could also have a large laceration. So hemostatic bandages, pressure bandages, these are things that we would use to control the bleeding. You know, I'm looking on right now from Meditech Emergency High Strength Pressure Bandage. This is just off of Amazon, $10 for an Israeli bandage that you can use that has a hemostatic agent in it. So that means that it clots blood. Your average CAT tourniquet, you'll probably spend about $30 on it. There's a reason why I probably have at least 10 or 15 of those things. You can never have enough tourniquets. I'll just say that. You can never have enough tourniquets. So you want stuff that can, you know, be a good wound seal, but you got to understand with the flow of blood, you know, your average Band-Aid is not going to do that. Your average gauze is not going to do that. Sometimes even your average pressure bandage is not going to control the flow of blood. So that's why you do have to have tourniquets to cut off that valve from the brachialis or from the femoral arteries. Have something with you. QuikClot, they make all different types of kits. You can get their clotting gauze. I have a lot of that, especially stuff for my children because it's easy on them. You know, just have something, guys. You never know when you're going to need it, and I'd rather you have it staged sitting in your vehicle. Just remember that, just like anything else, if you do have a medical kit on you, an active shooter kit, if it's on your gear, so, you know, if it's on your belt or your plate carrier, or if you have it staged in your house, or more especially if you have it staged in your vehicle, if it starts to get to where it's in the temperatures, you know, 100 plus sitting inside that vehicle, then it can deteriorate very quickly. The stuff that you have in it, so especially if it has any type of adhesive components to it, that concentrated amount of heat can ruin your medical gear. So make sure that you're changing out your medical gear whenever it's expiring. Take a look at it. You know, you'll know more or less as you're looking at it if it feels you know, crunchy or whatever. Most of these are now sealed in a air sealed type package. If it's no longer sealed, I would still keep it. Use it for training. Use it just for an additional thing, but go ahead and replace it. Hemostatic bandages, SAM splints, those are cheap. Tourniquets. You know, those are very simple things that you can keep. The zip stitches, the butterfly suture stitches, that's another very easy thing if you need to do a in-the-field suture instead of having needle and thread. Zenvok, S-E-N-V-O-K, is one company that carries it. I actually use those. So, you know, just be prepared, guys. You never know. You absolutely never know. If you want to do a one-shop stop, I would just tell you, go to NorthAmericanRescue.com and look at all the stuff that they have. Sorry for my long-windedness. I'm going to get out of here, guys. I'll see you tomorrow. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.